Donegal is an ancient landscape. It is beautiful, vast, and in parts an uncompromising wilderness. This wild terrain harbours a rich diversity of flora and fauna. From Macher to the mountains, Donegal is home to some of Europe's most important wildlife. This is Wild Lives, and I'm Mary Brophy. Over the next 8 episodes, I'll be bringing you on a wild journey through the county. On land and sea, we'll discover magnificent raptors and an incredible island seal colony, hidden worlds of moths and beautiful rare plants. I'll meet the people who monitor and protect our wildlife, and I'll be learning about the challenges these creatures face as we humans demand more and more of our natural world. My adventure begins at the most northerly point of the county, on the sea, off Inishowen's stunning coastline.
Going to go out around past Glengad, up towards the Garvan Isles, just off Malin Head.
That's Emmett Johnston.
We're just heading off Malin Head, really, and that's been one of the areas in the last number of years around the coast of Ireland that's had a lot of activity, really, right from basking sharks to dolphins all this summer. We've had a lot of minke whale, and we've had pilot whales in the last few weeks as well.
Emmett is a National Parks and Wildlife Ranger. He's also part of the Inishowen Basking Shark Study Group.
And then we're going to go out into Inishrahull Sound. There's a really deep water trench there. You get a lot of cold water upwellings, and there's a lot of plankton, a lot of food there. So, fingers crossed. It looks like a really nice day, and you might see a bit of activity. Who knows? We'll definitely see lots of seabirds.
Emmett and his team have been studying the shark populations that are passing through these waters in increasing numbers. I'm heading out with him to hear about the study group's pioneering work and learn about the extraordinary creatures that swim in these waters.
The marine environment is very different than what people associate in the terrestrial environment, where you have your woodlands, your hills, your beaches. The marine environment where we are today, next week is a different habitat. Tomorrow is a different habitat, or the next stage of the tide changes so quickly. It's 3D as well. You've got this up and down, within the water column, you've got the seabed, and then you've got the surface. So things are constantly changing. We're just looking there at the end towards Malin Head at the Cliffs of Shieldren, and this area is really exceptional for looking for whales and dolphins, and in particular basking sharks as well.
For the uninitiated, what is the difference between a shark and a whale and a dolphin?
Yes, sharks are fish and whales and dolphins are mammals, or cetacean family as they call them. Whales and dolphins are mammals, so they have milk and they rear their young. Sharks are fish, they're cartilages as well, so they don't have bones, although there are a few bony fish. And the most important thing for ourselves is that they don't need to come to the surface to breathe air. So whales and dolphins have to come to the surface on a regular basis, so that usually gives away their presence. You'll hear the blow, or you'll see a bushy blow, or you'll smell something as well. It can be very smelly creatures when you're up close. Whereas a shark can spend all its life below the surface and you might never see it.
Definitely a splash.
It's hard to tell, there's a bit of swell there, so it's not ideal.
What did you think you saw?
Well, I just saw a splash in the water, so usually when you're trying to pick up something, you look for something that's different. That's not, the normal bits of waves breaking or bits of white caps. So that was definitely a good splash in the water, just straight off the stern of the boat. Sometimes you'll see something going against the flow or going against the normal movement of the waves. Just heading into Malin Head itself here, heading for what they call the Scare Rock. So that's, we're very close inshore here, so actually most animals are, further off. But Malin Head is one of the few places on the island that juts right out into the Atlantic, and you get to kind of close to animals that would normally be further offshore. So it's just when you see something different catches your eye, normally that's what you're looking when you're scanning across the horizon, because when you're at sea everything looks the same, you just get that kind of blue in the horizon. So you're always trying to pick out something that's different, or a bit of movement, or a glint in the sunlight.
Well, if he went up, he went straight back down again.
Yeah,
there's no sign of him.
There's nothing else. So. No, sure, we'll head on.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Right.
Head on, sure. Maybe, how is it?
Gonna go around the head?
No, I'd say it'll be a bit too. What's it look like? Particularly this area here is very, very high productivity, as they call it, in the sea. So you get a kind of cold water with a lot of nutrients coming from the Irish Sea, meeting the warmer water from the Atlantic. And that's what we call an ocean front. And that's exactly what we have here at Malin Head. And that attracts in a lot of animals, but, you know, creates a lot of plankton, brings in the fish, and that attracts in the whales and dolphins. So you've got minke whale would be particularly prevalent around here. And they have a kind of a hollow. Blow sounds like somebody nearly blowing down a metal pipe. It's like a real whoo kind of noise. We've got a lot of porpoise, bottlenose dolphin. We've had a lot of pilot whales in the last couple of weeks here following the herring. We get orcas or killer whales come here twice a year for the last 5 years at least, and they're coming on a regular basis. They're the tiger of the ocean. They take on even great whites in other parts of the world. So no, they're top of the food chain. And one day we were off here, we had all 11 of what they call the Hebridean pod. So you can identify individuals by their type of their fin. As with a lot of whales and dolphins, in particular dolphins, they have a lot of scarring on their fins. And if people get a photograph of that, you can start to identify individuals like a fingerprint. It's probably the best place in the world for seeing basking sharks, and
really
we could have maybe up to 10% of the world's population passing by here between April and September. And it's one of the great marine migrations of the world, and certainly something that we haven't you know, I couldn't talk more about it, you know, or we haven't really talked enough about it or shouted about it, as I would say, here in Donegal. So,
10% of all the basking sharks are coming through here.
Yes, yeah, I mean, in their thousands. So, I mean, sometimes we would have groups of hundreds on the surface, certainly tens and twenties, no problem. And where you see one or two sharks, there's a lot more below the surface, so they don't spend that much time on the surface. So, and this area here, just below the tower, right into the Garvan Isles, is very tidal, and you get a lot of food production here. And this really attracts in the sharks, and they spend quite a bit of time feeding here. And, you know, oftentimes they go right in close to the rocks, rubbing their bellies on the rocks or around by the pier, around by the beach. And, you know, the kids are in swimming. They might be only 3 or 4 yards from the sharks. So, I mean, these are things that are the same size as a McGinley's bus, you know, for the really, really big ones. The average size maybe 4 to 6 meters. A big one could be up to 10 or 11 meters. So really, really big, about the size of a jet engine. So they're, you know, exceptional kind of animals right on our doorstep, and it's a real privilege to be able to see them. I'm part with the Inish Owen Basking Shark Study Group, and I suppose that's some of us are scientists or researchers, and other people are just interested in the marine environment, and a collection of people interested in the sea, interested in these really charismatic animals. And we said there's a bunch of questions about these animals that have kind of eluded people for centuries, but new technology has just come along in the last 10 or 15 years, and that's allowing us maybe to answer those questions that have been around for a long, long time.
Questions like, what are the global numbers of basking sharks? Are they solitary creatures? And the one that's intrigued marine science for decades, where do they go in winter?
And the new technology really is a really big and kind of bulky pieces of equipment, but we can attach it onto these sharks because they're so big, and try out really new things like prototype types of technology that, you know, you couldn't attach it to a bird or a penguin, but we can try it out, stick it on the basking shark, let them take it to the most productive places in the ocean.
And right here in Donegal, on tiny budgets, the team have been evolving some of that technology and developing valuable applications for other marine research.
We developed a new method for DNA testing of them by sampling their slime. We were the first to track them down below the equator here in the eastern Atlantic. And we put on cameras and accelerometers, which is really looking at how the animal uses its energy when it's feeding and not feeding. And I mean, the methods and the technologies that we're, trialing here, people take note very quickly within the marine biological scene. And they can't believe what a good study site we have. What a good study animal we have, and how we've been able to deliver in such a short period of time.
How difficult is it physically tagging them and working with them, like getting up
that's
close?
That's the good part. That's the exciting bit. It's not too difficult once you can find them, but trying to find them is the most difficult.
As we've been seeing today.
Yeah, I mean, that's really... Over the years, we've built up a lot of knowledge about how the animals, where's the best place to go under different wind conditions, different tidal conditions. And that's really is a help. And certainly a lot of the local fishermen, local people would send us a text or a phone call. And really that saves us doing a huge amount of searching out in the ocean.
Basking sharks were fished commercially here in the past. That industry provided a good living for coastal communities. Emmett believes these fantastic fish, and whales and dolphins, can benefit Inishowen's economy once again, not by fishing, but by developing an international marine research centre here at Mallin.
Really, we're trying to discover what makes the animals come here, why is it important for them, and what are they doing when they are here? And once you understand those questions or you have those answers, you can start to think about, do we need to protect them? And if we do, what are the things that we need to put in place for that? Staller there, Kieran. See the little footprint there? That's the classic. Oh, yeah, I see something there.
Oh, yeah.
Little small ones.
We have a few. What are they, dolphins?
Yeah, little small dolphins.
Oh, look at them.
Jesus, unusual. I think it's common over here. Look, yeah. Look.
And they're circling the boat right around us.
A little bit further out there, yeah, you can see a few. Yeah, it's a small, small group. I think it's just bottlenose dolphins. So just that little small one threw me off there. It was quite unusual. There's a real sharp fin on it. So that's great to see. So oftentimes they'll like playing with the boat to do a bit of interaction. And if you get the boat going at a good speed, maybe 8 or 10 knots, they'll go on the bow wave and they really have
really
great
give you
fun
the show.
Surfing on the front. Yeah,
really give us the show here now.
Today, the basking sharks in particular, they're not protected in Irish waters. They just have a zero quota, so that could change tomorrow. So they are...
And are any of the mammals, are any of the whales,
whales and dolphins are protected,
yeah,
they're all protected under the Habitats Directive. But the basking shark was a commercial species at the time that was drawn up. So I suppose, you know, there's a precautionary principle. We think that we should protect them as a precaution because they were hunted up until 2007, which is not too long ago in Irish waters, talking about snapshots in history. What animals do you protect? You know, how do you adapt and change to that over time, that some animals become more endangered maybe as the years go by, and other animals do quite well and recover and maybe don't need to have such a high level of protection. So it's been able to adapt and change to that.
There's a fair few of them there now. I've counted 7 there.
Yeah, I would say that there's been a group here, maybe about 20. See, you can just see the light. Did you see that under the sea, under the water?
Oh,
there
he is. Yeah, he's right beside. Oh, there's 2 of them.
Yeah, no, they're common dolphins. Sorry.
There's one.
Common dolphins.
So these are common dolphins.
Common dolphins,
okay.
Yeah.
Did you get any good shots?
You got a few pictures there.
That's fantastic.
Okay, now, they're black and white.
They're common, I think. I was just looking them up. They're not the bottlenose, not the big ones that
they're
normally
small ones, yeah. They're not as playful, are they?
You know, it's an adventure every time you go out in a boat here, or even go for a walk along the coastline and find your little mermaid's purses and things like that. And it's always constantly changing and different.
Well, after the break, Emmett Johnston takes me onto an offshore island, home to one of our grey seal colonies.